pastors and whoever under you in your ministry, that if they don't submit, they cannot have the spiritual covering. And then it says itinerant ministries who do not understand the apostolic concept of authority has gone into the local churches and overridden the local pastor authority. You cannot do that. I'm very mindful of that myself with those who are submitted to me when I'm at their churches. Sometimes they want me to go in first and, oh, you go in first. Because I'm submitted to the pastor when I'm at his church. But the author points out such a violation allowed the enemy to come in into the word of the Lord. Then, though our gifting and calling carry with them an authority from God, yet we need to be under the authority of the local church pastor to function within his local church. I thought I wanted to go back over those things and just talk to you a few minutes about them. And I want to share from 2 Timothy 3:16 something I learned from that scripture, four things that I learned from that scripture that I thought was outstanding. And I want to make sure as we talk about this apostolic input stage or the apostolic impartation in a ministry that we look at these four things in 2 Timothy 3:16. Because actually, if you take in notes, roots, anchors, and foundation in ministry is so important. Order, establishment, anointing, all of these things are important. In some way, they got off track over a protracted period of time in the body of Christ. We're aiming to bring that order back, that order from Isaiah chapter 9, where it talks about Jesus to increase his government, to order his government, to establish it. Then Isaiah 11 tells us how he does it with various type of anointing standing under the counsel of God. In Acts 19, we're going to find out that the old structure had to be torn down. Paul found out that they had not heard about the Holy Ghost. Paulus had taught the old doctrine. Paul began bringing the new doctrine to tear the old one down and to build the new one. That's what I think what we're doing now, moving beyond denomination, beyond just word of faith, denomination, and being open to the kingdom of God and to God's ways of doing things as he desires. Not only in Acts 19, there's a great lesson there at the beginning of that chapter, but Acts 20 is another chapter where the apostle put his input into the church, released him under the grace of God. And we'll look into that in a few months. But here in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so I want to give you four things here that I think would help you in your establishment of authority in your ministry. Doctrine there means establish order of God. When they talk about doctrine, it's establishing God order. When you look at a reproof, which is very important, it's dismantling of erroneous teaching and erroneous thinking. When I saw these four definitions years ago, it really touched my heart. See, reproof is dismantling of erroneous teaching and erroneous thinking. And then number three, correction is the assimilation of truth in thought process. It's the assimilation of truth in thought process, in your heart, in your ministry, etc. And then number four, instruction, the systematic application of God's word into your life and into your ministry. Those four are so important as Paul instructed Timothy how to establish the church in a proper perspective. And also I want to, again, roots are important in your ministry, anchors are important, and the right foundation is important. And then I'm going to pass this by you. The stewardship of your intimacy. I'm teaching on worship now in my Sunday morning service. And that's the first thing that worship does is establish intimacy. It's so important for us to have intimacy with God, and worship bring that intimacy so close to us and so powerful. And then I think that intimacy has to be established for authority. Then you go to dominion. and then you are to reign in ministry. So I think that divine order should go forth. Now, in stage 6 here, this apostolic input stage, in the passage of Paul addressed to the elders at Ephesus, we discover Paul's meaningful contribution and input into them. His message to them unfolds. Now watch this, what it unfolds. His pastoral, teaching, prophetic, and apostolic input in their church at Ephesus. So that's four aspects of the anointing that was resting upon this man, on this apostle. And say in it, so we look at his pastoral input. He challenged the elders to pursue the concept of kingdom living. That's Acts chapter 20, verses 18, 19, and 25. And then he exhorted them to serve and to suffer for the sake of reaching others. That's Acts 20, 24 through 26. Now let's look at in his prophetic input. He reveals to them the direction and his destiny as the Spirit was leading him. He spoke of his desire to continue to pursue what he felt was his progressive direction in his life. So in other words, prophetically, it reveals direction. And Paul, in Acts 19:20, you'll see he revealed in direction. Now, in his apostolic capacity, he brought impartation of God's grace and divine enablement through apostolic teaching. This impartation of the word of grace and the counsel of God built another dimension of divine enablement into the elders. Now that was a very compact statement there. To this apostolic capacity, this apostolic teaching, which is bringing things back in the order of God. I think it's in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14, the last verse in that chapter. It said, let all things be done. Somebody divided it that way, the verse. Let all things be done. And that's what's been happening because of us not knowing of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven to earth relationship, in which was God originally playing, in which we are coming back to, in which we are setting the divine order and the divine stage for divine order. Just very called and the very respect and the very honor you are given the 12, and the 12 given to me. And it's a divine setup that strength and power can come into our lives to fulfill the ministry in the way God wanted it fulfilled. I want to exalt you this morning. I think you've been doing a good job for submitting to those who in authority over you, those who answer to me, as I answer to the Lord for what the Lord has established with LTMA. So it's a great moment in our lives. But I want you to listen to this apostolic capacity and this apostolic teaching, what it would bring forth in our life, what it's bringing forth in our lives. This impartation of the word of grace, number one, and the counsel of God, number two, build another dimension of divine enablement into the elders. So that divine enablement is coming upon us all as we learn to submit, as we learn to flow as one man. It is producing in our lives a foundation. It's producing in our lives roots that you can't get no other way. And it's putting anchors in our ministry that we'll know what to do at any given time. This apostolic capacity also implanted new seeds of revelation that will keep them vigilant and alert. The apostolic input which the senior pastor should provide three major areas. Yeah, three major areas. Relaying apostolic foundation. That's what we're doing now. That's what LTMA is doing with all the ministers that are connected with us. We're getting relaying the apostolic foundation, which is the foundation that can bring forth the order of God. Now, I skipped something because I started talking about let all things be done. I didn't finish that statement. I just reminded, because it's so important. At the end of that 14th chapter, it seemed like they stopped part way, but it said, be done decently and in order. That's what the Holy Spirit brought it back to my remembrance, because that's the important. That's what I'm trying to emphasize, that we've got to move from let all things be done and move to the fact of the whole counsel of God, which said, let all things be done decently and in order. Without this apostolic capacity, without us aligning ourselves with apostolic strategies, we will never reach the peak of anointing and revelation, and the foundation would not be right for the build like God wants to build. And that's what we're doing. So relaying, we have to relay this apostolic foundation. Now, I'm just going to say some things off the cuff here, because in this relaying, this apostolic foundation, there will be challenges. There will be people who will try to align us with a cult. There will be people who will try to align us with denominational structures that already have been set up by men. And I think that's been the problem. I think that's why so many ministries have been smothered, because they have a right heart and they want to move with their ministries, but it takes discipline, it takes submission and surrender, and it takes time to develop a ministry for it to be built on the right foundation, have deep enough root, and have anchors when the storm comes. I think that the Lord is leading us to do this thing proper. Those of us who have been in ministry a long time, we even relaying some things ourselves to get it in line with what God will do. The second thing is establishing apostolic doctrine. Now, I told you something about doctrine. The doctrine established the order of God. And then the third thing is building an apostolic structure. And it'd be built just like the Lord wanted built. Relaying apostolic foundation for a greater manifestation of God's life in his local congregation. In other words, a pastor. It gives us Acts 19, 1 through 7. Paul relaying foundation at the church at Ephesus. They had not heard whether there'd be a Holy Ghost. I remember I went through that season, and my church went through that season of not even knowing the revelation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So that foundation at Word of Life, I had to relay that foundation, 170-year-old Baptist church. And so it had that old foundation, but the Holy Spirit helped me to relay the foundation of the apostolic foundation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Dealing with old foundation, establishing new one. Now, I may be repeating myself, but it's so important every one of you all understand that all of us have some old foundation in us. And we have to be willing to go forward. Let the Holy Spirit bring forth whatever needs to be brought forth in our lives. We go back to Isaiah chapter 9. We see where Jesus set up on his kingdom to order and establish it in the increase of his government. If you look at Isaiah chapter 11, it tells us how he did it. He did it with a fresh anointing, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he had these different various anointing of constant might and these different input from the Holy Spirit that we must have in order to function in the order that God wants to function. So as we deal with the old foundation, I think one of the biggest problems have been is trying to deal with the old foundation. When a person is built on the old foundation, they always fight to keep that foundation. You have that in your church. You go to different ministries as you go out and travel ministering. You'll find that old foundation. But the new one has to be established. And I think what's going to happen, there will be an explosion as we establish new foundation. This new foundation, which really is not a new foundation, I would say it's an original foundation, but it's new to our generation because we've been all cracked so long. The old foundation laid earlier by Apollos, but its spiritual dimension of ministry and grace was insufficient for an apostolic move. Now that's so important, because we're back in Acts 19. There could not be an apostolic move without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many of us who are on this line, we experienced just last week in Guatemala, we saw over 107 people got baptized with the Holy Spirit. So that'll set that ministry up, that pastor follow suit right. Now that'll set that ministry up for a new dimension of power, a new dimension of just walking in the same anointing that the book of Acts was functioning in now, because there's 107 people who were not praying in the Spirit, now able to pray in the Spirit. And so Paul walked into this old foundation, and he said the spiritual dimension of ministry and grace was insufficient for an apostolic move, so he had to make a change. Paul realized this and introduced a new dimension change in the work of Ephesus when he introduced them to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, people will flow if you give them proper instruction. So that's why in the beginning of this impartation, I gave you those definitions from 2 Timothy 3:16, so you'll know that all of them have to be carried out. It just can't be a little goody-goody ministry in order to establish people's lives, in order to dismantle some things and assimilate some things and do things systematic. It's very important that we follow the structure that the Word of God said and that the Holy Spirit is bringing forth. Now, dealing with the area of truth, bringing revelation, you must allow new truth to be restored into people's hearts. The church must be taught to receive these updates of progressive revelation of the new thing God is unfolding today. That's so important. The truth that was taught by Apollos was not present truth there in Acts chapter 19 and in many churches around the world and many times in our own churches. The apostle Paul gave a clear review of truth and encouraged him to lay hold on what God was presenting today. And you'll see that in Acts 19. Most of you all probably read that scripture where he said he never had heard of the Holy Ghost. Paul brought him into the light of what Jesus was saying and what the Holy Spirit was saying, and they caught a hold of that, and they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Dealing with the nature of the people, producing a new breed. Now, I think that's what happened here at Word of Life, as a new breed is being birthed, being reared up to understand the fresh anointing, a fresh word, fresh acts of the Holy Spirit. When we land foundation, you must address the aspect of the nature of the people. In other words, you must address it clear enough for the people to understand what you are doing. The people must be willing and receptive to follow these new truths. And sometimes you got to work on that to get them to the point, because you get anchored and parked in things they've been in for 30 years and not accomplishing what really they know they should be accomplishing, but they think this is the only way. You must bring your people into these experiences so that they can be in tune with the present move of the Holy Spirit. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is what the apostle is doing. This is what I'm doing here at the Bay Station here in Darrow. I'm bringing them into the direction of the apostle, the prophet, the teacher on down the line, how that ministry should work and how we should submit to this delegated authority. Also, you can impart through the laying on of hand and move your people into a higher dimension of the Holy Spirit anointing. So you see, what the apostle is telling us in producing a new breed, and I think worldwide we need this. There are a lot of men of God, women of God have caught a hold of this ahead of us. When I say a lot, there's a remnant, because all these years I had no insight on this. I just started looking into it after God called me to be an apostle. I didn't really know what an apostle was. Then I got books in my hand and started studying, and my spirit was already in tune to that level. And that's how I began to function at that level. Dealing with the core leadership, establishing a strong base. You must provide apostolic fathering and mentoring to your own leadership, so they may continue to be relevant in leadership. Dealing with spiritual roots. If I begin talking about your roots, got to be right. Concentrating the life in holiness. Now, I'm a big pusher of spiritual roots. I'm a big pusher of holiness, because I know that the demonic attacks that will come after a minister cannot fully function in their lives, because Jesus said, Satan come, but he have nothing on me. In other words, Satan has to have a target in your life to attack you with success. Now, he will attack you, but his attack should not have no success if you have your spiritual roots right, and you're permitting the Holy Spirit to produce a life of holiness. It's so important. Spiritual roots are embedded in the root through patterns of men. Spiritual roots are the life stream that affect people, perspective of today's present truth. Spiritual roots tie down the ground we have grown in and would affect our lifestyle and value. Our spiritual roots should be in what God is saying and doing today. You must train your people to be rooted and grounded in your soul. Those of you who are pastors, they must be committed to their local church in every aspect of support and involvement. They must be given their lives, not just their gifts and talent, into that work. And that's not going to happen automatically. That's with you under the anointing, pushing them in that direction. They must be deriving a source of fulfillment and acceptance in that local body. When your church is operating properly and decently and in order, yes, you're going to have some that gripe. But most of my members, I just called Attorney James, she's on this line. Most of my members are well-fed, they are happy, they see progress, they are anointed, because the Holy Spirit is helping me to lay it out before them that they can have a grasp upon what God is saying and what God is doing, and that's so important. We cannot let a ministry failure be upon our lack of apostolic anointing. We cannot put it on the people if we're not putting out the goods. Stagnation can be removed by systematically doing things the proper way. And so that's what I try to impart to you in my feeble ways, to tell you that this thing can be done, and it can be done anywhere. God's word works everywhere. And in 40 years, God's word has never failed me. It always came out the way he said. And so I know I could pass this on to you. The people should know that this church is their spiritual home, and they must identify with all its believers as being part of their line. All right, now let's look at a few minutes on focus on the objective of relaying foundation. Now, relaying foundation, I think, is one of the important aspects of this moment in our lives as ministers, men and women of God. This apostolic concept of authority and going back to God's original plan and divine order, we'll see more power, we'll see more production, and we'll have a greater grip on our assignment and the calling that God has placed on our life. But we must understand that we can't hold on to something that is not, the Bible says, no other foundation can no man lay than which is laid in Christ Jesus. And so we got to get that foundation right. In order to do that, we have to relay that foundation. Sometimes we're going to have to tear down. You remember what he said in Jeremiah in the first chapter? He told Jeremiah the first thing, you got to tear down some things. And then he told Jeremiah, then we rebuild. We recognize God gives the increase and growth. He's the life source of every revival. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. You read that at your time, and God will give you this. You got to tap into new strategies for breakthrough. Now, breakthrough, we want to raise breakthrough believers. If you're going to raise breakthrough believers, we've got to have breakthrough ministers. And when I think about breakthrough, I think about what happened to Jesus at his baptism, open heaven, the voice of God, and God says, this is my beloved son, I'm well pleased. So that's a breakthrough. Breakthrough is Jacob's ladder, with the angels going up and down, coming down, open heaven, God on the top of the ladder, giving an announcement of what he's going to do with Jacob. Open heaven is a breakthrough. You get your church under your city, your county or your parish or wherever you are, get that church under open heaven. You do that in your prayer time. You do that in your study time. You do that in your yielding time. We're doing it right now as we yield to the Holy Spirit. I sense His anointing this morning. We yield to the Holy Spirit, and I declare and decree that on each one of your ministries from this day forward will reside under an open heaven. Even at Stephen's death, you know, that was open heaven. He saw Jesus standing. And that's what we need. Over Darrow here, this church is under open heaven. Therefore, this community, even though people don't come to this church, but they're enjoying the benefits of being under an open heaven. So I say, everywhere you are on this line, that from this day forward, your personal lives and your ministry and your city will begin to function under open heaven because you are there. That's very important for you to understand that. And when we talk about tapping to new strategies for breakthrough, I think we're constantly doing that in our conventions as we travel, and the thing that the Lord is imparting through our spirit is helping us to get a new breakthrough. Then it says, not only a new breakthrough, you should receive new blueprints and patterns from the Holy Spirit concerning structure and concept of the local church government and growth. Let me read that again. We're talking about new breakthrough. See, I don't want you to think that we're going to go in circles as the average association is doing. No. We're not going to go in circles. It's breakthrough. It's going to higher and higher level. Listen to this again. When we talk about relaying foundation, we're talking about God giving the increase and the growth, and He is the life source of the revival. We're talking about tapping into new strategies for breakthrough. Then it says you're talking about receiving a new blueprint and pattern from the Holy Spirit concerning structure. That's so important. And concept of the local church government and growth. Government and growth. Going to take breakthrough. It's going to take blueprints. It's going to take patterns from the Holy Spirit to give us a freshness. Not the same old humdrum. You know, you go get on your news, pray for a message, go preach the message, get a little goosebump, get a little emotion. No. It's laying a foundation that cannot be denied. Again, in this church where our headquarters is, the Holy Ghost is inputting in me blueprints and strategies and breakthroughs that is undeniable. It's undeniable. My preaching have changed. My anointing have changed. In studying these various lessons that is changing the order of God, the culture of honor, the way I deal with sin, the way I deal with people who have fallen, all of that has changed. The spirit of honor, these things we have gone through, these are restructuring our foundation from the inside that we can build a proper foundation for our ministry and assignment and vision that God has given us. And where we were losing hope, and where we have come to the point where when this thing going to break through, it's not going to break through until you become a breakthrough leader. And I am a breakthrough leader. And I want to tell you, I believe the 12 are breakthrough leaders. And I believe you are a breakthrough leader as we grow and develop together and get these various input in us. Again, I want to repeat. Breakthrough, government, blueprint, patterns from the Holy Spirit. It's not about emotion. It's not just about information. It's not just about revelation. It's about rhema. It's about aligning with what God wants. As we do that, I believe many of you are going to break out of the little vessel that the system been holding your ministry in. That's why we try to discipline you. That's why we want divine order. That's why we challenge you. And some people can't take it, the pressure. They can't take the pressure. They want their own way. They want, one pastor said, when another delegated authority was trying to give him some correction, I'm a pastor too. We knew that. But he's been small all his life. He's never going to have the blueprint. He's never going to get a breakthrough because he will not permit the word to break him. I had to be broken of a lot of things. I'm still being broken. you know, but I thank God that I receive from God to go forward. I'm almost through. When proper apostolic foundation are laid, the church spiritual atmosphere and position will change. You see, we try to change it by prayer. We try to change it by making confession. You know, who's in that confession area and what is right and proper. I found out something just preaching Sunday, the Holy Spirit, that when you pray and your faith not working, what you do? You go to worship. The worship is the highest spiritual move you can make. This woman was trying to get an answer for a girl who was sick with a spirit. She prayed. She cried out. She was using her faith and wasn't getting anywhere. But in that 25th verse of the 15th chapter of Matthew, just 10 words, I believe, when she began to worship him and call him Lord, it changed her faith, changed her prayer, changed her situation, changed her attitude, changed her mind. See, you have to be changed a lot of time in order for your ministry to change. I've watched some of you all. Some of y'all had and may still have somewhat a stubborn spirit in, I'm going to do it this way. That's not what it's all about. If you're going to be open to the flow, you can be blessed. And you can recognize that leadership, why the Marine and the Army and the Navy has such structure to combat the enemy, is they develop discipline, they develop authority, and everybody fall in their place. If not, they turn you loose AWOL. And so the spiritual laws and the spiritual direction that we're heading in, we need to have that same type of foundation established among us. The author talked about establishing apostolic doctrine. He talked about the possible content of the apostolic doctrine. It's important that we understand apostolic doctrine. The birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, top of the line. His finished work at Calvary, top of the line. See, we don't reestablish that the cross is the central factor of all spiritual transactions. And we get off and just say the Word, the Holy Spirit, a cell group, or whatever, we get at top priority. And you remember Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the apostolic doctrine, if you look in the book of Acts, they stuck with the fact that Jesus was the central figure. His finished work at Calvary, his unseen work in Shore, his ongoing work at the throne, his final work through his church, the full redemption of man in Christ, and the revealing of Christ in us, the revelation of glorious church, the glorious church being his body, the revelation of the fullness of God's kingdom, the redemption of Israel, the revelation of the final days and the beginning of the new heaven and new earth. All of these things have to be in divine perspective, but none of them, if the doctrine is not right, and the doctrine, the top of the ladder of the doctrine is Jesus Christ and him crucified. We must keep Jesus preaching in our ministry. We must not go, you know, I teach money coming, I teach financial breakthrough, but I know the central factor of my ministry in my life and in this church is Jesus Christ and him crucified. The author talk about doctrine for transformation. He listed four things on the doctrine for transformation. Now, doctrine, remember what I told you about doctrine from in 2 Timothy 3:16, the established order of God. That's what doctrine is to bring forth. You must learn to flow in his apostolic grace and anointing. This apostolic grace and apostolic anointing that was on Apostle Paul's life, on Barnabas' life, we found out that Barnabas went in the church with that apostolic grace and apostolic anointing, and it makes a difference. Being a genuine apostle over you and as a spiritual covering to you, that grace and anointing have already proven itself in my ministry, and that's why we like to have those two major meetings, or at least three with the ministers' conference, that you would come in and experience what that anointing has done and what that anointing is doing, in which it is not only being done here, it's being done in many ministries that is on the phone, but yet we are submitting to that apostolic grace and anointing. And then those of you who sit on these impartation calls and follow our ministry, you must start to teach with an apostolic edge and flow. When that happens, your people are going to recognize it. You start teaching with an apostolic edge on your life and a flow. Then you build up on the revealed word, and you teach your people how to master the truth. In other words, stop raising babies, stop compromising, stop catering to people, and make them stand on their own in the spirit world. I had a young lady, I had forgotten to call her. Her brother died. I stuck with her till her brother tried to keep him on his side. He died, and he had left this ministry, and he went join another ministry. She stayed here, and they had his funeral yesterday. Now, very seldom I go to a funeral. If they ask me to speak, I might go, and I may not go. I always have delegated authority to go. I called her 6 o'clock in the evening, buried her brother at 11 o'clock. I hadn't talked with her before that. The proper thing to do is call them right after a loved one died, but I got busy and I didn't call her. But I called her 5 or 6 hours after the funeral. Now, you cannot do that unless you have people trained. They will leave your church. But people trained, they know your heart, they're carrying an apostolic anointing on their lives, and they can handle such things as that. About 9 more minutes. Apostolic concept of knowledge and transformation. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 16, the Apostle Paul give the concept of his ministry that is in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Getting the wisdom of God built up in us is so important. This wisdom is communicated to those who are matured, matured wisdom. God's wisdom is a mystery, and demonic power have no access to it. God's wisdom is a mystery, and demonic power have no access to it. That's very important. I thank God, I thank the Holy Spirit, and I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm experiencing this type of ministry, and now know it's not just for me. God had this organization in mind all the time, the connections I'm making with these young men and young women, and all the time he had this in mind. Demonic power had no access to the wisdom of God. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord Jesus. These words of life and wisdom will unveil the depths of God and the thoughts of God to us. Powerful. Every church must eventually decide whether it's going to structure for control or structure for growth. For your church to grow, both the pastor and the people must give up control. Now, I've lived this. I've seen this happen in my own personal ministry. I have seen, and I am seeing the results of this. It's tranquility, it's peace, it's calmness. Nobody trying to control, everybody trying to submit, including the leadership. It is so dear to the heart of God that this can transpire in your ministry, that you totally surrender everything up and not trying to control everything and everybody. The people must give up control to the leadership, and the pastor must give up control of the ministry. With all our striving after the idea, it is imperative that the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of grace, love, and humility be manifested in every believer's attitude. Just building the people. Paul, in that, the Apostle Paul in that 20th chapter of Acts, when he's getting ready to leave, the Spirit pulled him out, he said, I recommend you to the word of God, grace that is able to build you up. And that's what people need. They need the word of God's grace, not for their hands to be held all the time. I can't overemphasize that. It is tragically possible to build according to the pattern and God never. It is tragically possible to build according to the pattern and God never put the glory there to seal it. In other words, it's a tragedy. And I think if we face it, most ministries has been built wrong. When you look at the whole circle of things, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of struggling going on that shouldn't be going on. But, you know, I will not permit you to stay in a struggle position if you don't give up, lose heart, or quit. Just keep being on these calls. Keep following the instruction of the delegated authority, and you'll see some things. The government must be on his shoulder. That's Isaiah 9, 6, chapter 9, 6 through 9. We talked about this a few minutes ago. And then it goes on to say here, the man in front should be apostolic, and he must be surrounded by a team. You see, we got all this in play. The 12 follow me everywhere I go. This was establishing these men's heart. They are an apostolic team. And then there are others who've joined themselves to the apostolic team. Say, for instance, Joyce. I don't know them on one meeting she has missed on the road. And she's a single woman, pastoring a church, but she has determined not to miss a meeting, and she's all over the world. Now, she's part of this apostolic team. She has that anointing on her. She's always there. When the anointing falls in, she is there. I encourage you and exhort you. And some of you can do it, but you won't do it. You know what that is? That's an old foundation. You just figure I'll get the tape. You just figure, well, I ain't got to go. You just figure I don't feel like changing clothes, packing. See, you got to be hungry for this. You got to have a desire. You got to have a desire in you for to advance as fast as you can. The team of pioneers should be surrounded by another team of enablers. And this structure goes down even to the grass root. A structure line oversight where the pastor would be able to streamline the necessary requirement for growth and maturity with those who are involved. Growth and maturity is so important to me. And if you would let me, I would say the 12, they are pioneers. And then those of us who follow closely, we are enablers. And finally, the pioneer anointing to get on you. It's just so important that you recognize what a privilege God has given us in this generation. Now, we've broken a lot of molds by all you all being online, just sitting and listening. I don't know where in the world you can find this right now. It's just phenomenal. It's just God. It's just the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The relationship and the fellowship we are building is a divine sign from God that all of us will prove out to be leaders that God needs in this time, in this hour, in this generation. So I bless you today. I'm just going to stop there. But I bless you today. I want you to recognize the significance of what we are doing. It's not so much emotional working, but it's devotional. And it's strong, and it will produce. I see you rising. I see you producing. I see you moving in places that you may never have thought you can go into. But first, you got to have that submission and that surrendering and that hunger and the desire. Father, I just pray that you birth upon all LTM members the truth that the Holy Spirit is placing in our hearts around the world. I pray that these men and women recognize the grip in the Spirit that you're giving us, the truth that you are providing for us. We thank you for wrapping your possibility around our impossibility. We thank you for giving us a sweeping anointing. We thank you, Father, for placing us under open heaven, that we can begin to hear, see and do exactly what you want us to do. We just thank you for this time of impartation. We ask the Holy Spirit to take these words and just whatever word each one needs, just ground it and root it in their hearts so that they can have hope and trust in the future as well as in the present. I thank you for every pastor, every apostle, every prophet, every teacher, every evangelist, all of those who are being built and being raised up by you right now. I thank you that the wisdom of God is on LTMA. Give each one of us the wisdom to know how to move in the Spirit. We stop Satan. We bind the strong man off every one of these ministries and every one of the cities they represent, every one of the ministers they represent. We bind the strong man right now in the name of Jesus, and we loose the stronger man, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this hour. We bless you for this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all go forward. Y'all be blessed. Follow the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Honor the Holy Spirit. Honor the name of Jesus. And honor God for calling you into your ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Dr.